Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I'm so glad you've joined me today. Today, we're going to challenge you to step it boldly into your highest potential. Today, we're joined by a true icon of human possibility, Warner Berger. He's a friend, and he's a man who has defied age, limitation, and expectation to live from a place of passion, purpose, and unstoppable energy. In this episode, we're going to invite you to rise, to tune in to the whisper of your inner voice, to align with the field of infinite intelligence that connects us all, and to ignite the passion that fuels your greatest dreams. This is not just the conversation. It's really a call today to awaken, to activate, and to ascend into the life you were designed to live. One of the ways we do that is by tuning into service. Service to humanity seems to be the bridge that awakens souls to greater consciousness, greater awareness, and more abundance, more love, more joy, and more happiness in their life. Now, you know, it's good to be at service at really any level. But today I'm going to challenge you, my audience, to step into the reason that you were on this planet, right? And some of you know what I'm talking about, and some of you are going, well, what is the reason I'm here? Well, hopefully we can help you explore that today a little bit, you know, by asking questions like, who am I? You know, the answers are within you. I don't have to give them you your own answers. They're here for you, you know, but you got to really answer that question. Who am I? Who am I really? And why am I here at this point in time, this place in time? And I'm asking from a global level, not from a personal or family level. A lot of you there to serve your families, serve your communities, serve your churches and politics and everything else. That's great. But I'm asking you to step into a greater part of yourself today. That's what we're going to have this conversation with Warner about. So it's discovering the signature energy within you that lights you up from within and guides you towards the highest expression of yourself. That's what we're talking about today. And of course, part of this is asking the right questions. Part of this is listening to the inner voice on a consistent basis, learning to trust yourself, to trust that intuition. You know, I know when I first met my wife, Judy, she's very intuitive. I wasn't at the time. And we'd be driving down the street and she'd say, we need to turn left here. And I go, no, I know the path. We'll go right. And inevitably, we'd hit all this traffic. We did this several times. And finally, I was like, okay, well, I better listen to this woman. She's got intuition. And more importantly, I don't know if it's more importantly, but also importantly, I need to develop my own intuition and start remembering that part of myself that I am also the field of everything. And I actually have intuition built within me, and so do you. We just have to tune into it to be able to step into our passion, live life from the fullest, and generate our greatest dreams. You know, part of you being here, there's dreams in you. And those dreams are here to be manifest. They made real. They weren't given to me. Your dreams aren't my dreams necessarily, but they're given to you, and they're given to you to step into that place that you might think is impossible. You know, maybe it's an impossible dream, but no dream is impossible if it's been given to you. But it takes passion. It takes courage. It takes fortitude. It takes consistency. And when you have those qualities, you can move past all the mountains in the world. So I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, I've got my very special guest, Warner Berger. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster, and I have my very special guest and friend, Warner Berger. Warner, it's so good to have you here with me on the Voices of Courage show today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, by the way, where are you calling in from? Where are you today?
I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, okay. Yeah, I was just wondering if you're out climbing a mountain today, you know?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Well, for those of you that don't know Warner, He is a corporate leadership consultant, author, speaker, and the Guinness World Record holder as the oldest person to climb the seven summits. For more than four decades, he's inspired leaders and teams worldwide, combining strategic insight with transformative adventure experiences. Through treks to Everest Base Camp, Kilimanjaro, and Machu Picchu, Warner guides participants on their hero's journey, where external challenges sparks deep personal growth. Featured in books and media and film, he continues to push the limits, now is planning to summit Kilimanjaro at age 90 in 2027 to launch the Global Peace Initiative titled The Global Ascent. And I'm part of that with you. I'm going to be there with you, Warner. Yeah, that is a powerful, powerful mission. Let me just jump into that because I'm curious. How did you get to that piece with the Global Ascent mission? Where did that come from?
Well, just before we get there, I must tell you how absolutely excited I am to hear you say you're going to be there with me. Because I know your orientation has everything to do with making a difference by doing good in the world. So to your question, how did I get here? About 20 years ago, when I climbed Mount Everest, I thought of myself, what can I do with this effort to make a difference in the world, as opposed to just me being on a mountain, having fun and exploring myself and exploring my endless possibilities that any climb like this actually provides. And at that time, I decided to actually produce a movie. And when we got to the rough cut phase of the movie, which was called Back from the Edge, and it was all about North American health, because at that point, there was a lot of talk about how unhealthy we are. When got to the rough cut phase, I realized I had not done enough research in the people that were creating this for me. And instead of it being, what can we do to be as healthy and take as much responsibility for our health as we can, it was more a trashing of the medical system, which is so wrong. And yes, there are some flaws in that system. And the key really is, what are we doing for ourselves relative to our eating, relative to our exercise, relative to our mindset shifts that I believe most people have to take place in order to become the powerful, courageous, passionate person that they were designed to be?
Well, you know, I couldn't agree with you more. And I have another show we call Heal It. And on that show, I bring in people that know cause and cure. And, you know, so much of the baggage that is carried on with the misinformation in the health system and whatnot, you know, it's all about treating symptoms. We get to the cause. And the cause, I'm going to tell you, you know, 80, 90% time, you know, when I bring on these doctors and practitioners and authors and speakers, they're all telling me one thing, Werner. They're saying it's emotional baggage. It's old programming that's creating physical pain and suffering in our bodies. What do you say to that?
Mm-hmm. Well, what I would say, first of all, is there is a place for our medical system, because when we're in crisis situation, all kinds of inner work does not produce instant results. And sometimes instant results are absolutely necessary and a path toward us getting to a state where we can start concentrating on what are our limitations, what are our concerns, what are our frustrations, what keeps surfacing on a day-to-day basis that stresses our system.
Yeah.
And we cannot wait and say the external environment has to change before we make the inner change, because the inner change absolutely creates the outer change. And the easiest example is two people look at the same situation and come away with completely different perceptions and different actions. So the question becomes, who was right? And of course, both were just simply reacting based on their own interpretation of the system, which of course has everything to do with beliefs. And unfortunately, we grow up with a lot of erroneous beliefs that have to be changed if we really want to become congruent and aligned with our purpose.
Well, I see it this way. I see that the outer, okay, what we can see, feel, touch, and taste is reflecting exactly how the inner is lined up. And when I'm thinking about climbing Mount Everest, I'm thinking, you know, I don't want to have rose-colored glasses on. I don't want to have dark-colored glasses on. Well, maybe I do if the sun's too bright. But, you know what? I'm talking metaphorically here. I want to be able to see reality clearly. And we can't see reality clearly unless we actually do that inner work. That's my point.
That is so true, actually. And it reminds me of the thought that courage isn't to start doing something. It is actually in doing something. The minute we start doing something, courage appears.
Yes.
And passion starts appearing because we see transformation. We see movement. And any little bit of movement, and really, we always think in terms of making major leaps. And I'm going to transform my whole being from one day to the next. Can't happen. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. It can happen when you go through an experience that is called the hero's journey. And you referred to that a little bit earlier. But what we really need to do on a day-to-day basis is make micro shifts in the direction that we know we need to go into in order to become our true selves. And our true selves are defined by what is our passion? What is our internal power? What is it that we really want out of life? And when we look at it and compare it to nature, it's very simple. It's really just continuous growth, continuous improvement, continuous mastering the environment that's around us, not changing the environment.
Yes.
Sometimes we can.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the micro shifts, you know, it's like the caterpillar going into the chrysalis, right? You know, that's a pretty big shift for that caterpillar. Once it's in there, everything liquefies, right? But, you know, that's the micro shift, right? It's working. Pretty soon this butterfly comes out, right? And so there's when it comes out, it's beautiful, right? But it's done all that work to get to being the butterfly. And I think that's what you're talking about. We all have to do that. And we don't have to talk in metaphors. We can talk in practical application here. Let me just ask you, somebody wants to take off their limitation around, let's say, money. Okay. How do they do it? Right. How do they shift that inner consciousness when they're programmed with a lot of limiting beliefs there?
Well, there's several ways of actually doing that. One would be just simply to look at, you know, what are all my limiting beliefs? Then on the next column, we look at what is all of the evidence that might not be correct. And then weigh the two. Do I want to be stuck with my limiting beliefs? Money is scarce. Money is hard to make. It's not for me. Rich people are whatever. What can money do and what can I do to make money? And then this is the big step, is going from here into action. And it needs to start in little ways. Actually, let me backtrack a little bit. It starts with me visioning. What is it that I really want with money? Is there a purpose in my life other than survival? And when I become really clear on what my purpose is, and for the most part, it's about helping, doing something with the excess money, and really getting a sense of what does that feel like? What will that do for me internally? Why is this my quest? Then I can start aligning my actions with achieving what I'm now proclaiming to be where I'm heading and where I want and where I'm going to be.
So I love that. You know, a lot of people are living a life of quiet frustration, right? And I got to take a quick break. But when we come back, I want to address how to break out of that and live more boldly, right? And I know you've already given us the pieces, but I'd like you to take me to the next level there with that. So we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy. But every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Candy Foster, and we're talking to Warner Berger. Warner, as I told you a little earlier, holds the Guinness record holder for the oldest person to climb the seven summits. That's an amazing feat, by the way. You know, you teach people how to get out of quiet frustration. Okay. I mean, a lot of people are sitting around, they're frustrated with their jobs, they're frustrated with their relationships, they're frustrated with their health, they're frustrated with their, you know, with their life, right? How do we break that pattern, right? So that we get out of frustration and move into living a bold life.
Well, let's get very technical for a moment. And this really comes from the corporate world that totally applies to the personal world. And the very first step, and we touched on it a little earlier, is envisioning what is it that you really want. And you might want to take days to really contemplate this and write it down in terms of every phase or every aspect of your life. In a corporation, they would write down what is it that they are after? What is their mission? And then what is the outcome? In other words, what is the proof that they have achieved that when they have achieved that? It's got to be quantifiable. It's got to be tangible. It's got to be something that is really, really wanted. And there's alignment to it, personal alignment. And if it's a group of people, a group alignment. And once that has been established, then you place yourself in having achieved that, having accomplished that completely and comprehensively. That's the being part of what is called be, do, have. So many people work from do, have, be. I have to do so that I can have, so that I can be what I want and have what I want. That's a reversal. I need to be, that I need to do, and then I will have. And the next step, once I've got the outcome, tangible outcome, I now put myself in a position of having it and looking back at today and saying, what are all of the things that I had to do to get here? And those are called, technical terms again, critical success factors.
Yeah. And you know, that B part, I don't think people really get the B part. I think we should dive into that a little bit. So it's really matching your energy, your frequency, your vibration with what it is that you're choosing to have. Mm. So if you're choosing to have, a new book in the world, let's say, we have to match our energy to that and start to walk into it. I know when I first claimed, I claimed that I was a writer at first, all right? That was hard for me to even do. I claimed that. Then I became an author. I claimed that I was an author. Then I claimed I'm a best-selling author, right? You know, so there's parts of that, but I could have claimed all that at one time, but I didn't understand the principles. So can we jump from, writer to best-selling author, or is that something we need to stage? How do we become that without having to go through it all? Does that make sense? Maybe it's an inside job. I think that's what we're talking about. Being it before we become it, right? Go ahead.
It is totally an inside job. Yeah. And the key, absolutely, once you've decided what you want and what really inspires you and what turns you on and what is the contribution that you can make to the world or to your family or even to writing the book and the impact that it will have. Then I start looking back and saying, okay, what are all of the things that I had to do to get here? And as I said, they're called critical success factors. And the critical success factors might include, I need to start just journaling. And the next step might be I'm going to write short articles, or I'm going to do some prose or something. Then I'm going to write a book. And as you said, step by step, I've got this lined out in my critical success factors, because I'm going to say, where do I have to start? How long am I going to work on this? Who do I need to support me in doing this? And just really put together an action plan around each one of those success factors. What's timing? And then live into, that's the micro transformations, until I get to the point where I can claim to be, I am a writer and I make a difference. But I have to start with that one thing.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that there's another piece to this, and that this might impact men more than women, but we're kind of socialized into being self-reliant and pushing through challenges and using our drive and our willpower to get things done. And, that's great, but it takes you to a certain point and there are certain things that you go, well, I've tried all that and, it doesn't work anymore, right? At least it doesn't work like it used to work. I know I can relate to that. And then there's a part of us that has to go into surrender. We have to surrender some of this ego into more awareness. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you're right on, actually, in what you're saying, because we are so conditioned to be self-reliant, to be strong, not to show any weakness. And what I've learned, and I'm really a strong proponent of, there are really only two things that we have to master in our lives. One of them is assertiveness. We have to get back to the point where we can be assertive without being aggressive. And we can be assertive without being passive. But the other thing is empathy. Until we combine those two, it's always a one-way street. And the one-way street is always pointed towards me and me looking good and me gaining and me performing, as opposed to having the empathy for where's the other And it could be the environment. What are we doing to the environment when we pollute and when we destroy? So there are always two elements here. There's me, and to what extent am I satisfied in doing what I need to do? And what is the other, or what? How do I support the other to also win? I can't be the only one winning.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You know, I'm thinking about, you know, the most dangerous enemy, you know, outside of having a closed mind, what would you say is the most dangerous enemy for us to grow and develop and become the best version of ourselves?
To be locked into our past would be the quick answer. And what I mean by that is when we grow up, we all experience certain things that we either misinterpret or internalize in a way that should not, but does stay with us literally forever until we change it. And those misinterpretations for men and women are really quite different. And so the question becomes, and of course, that takes us right back to limiting beliefs. And then the question becomes, you know, what are the characteristic limiting beliefs for men? And the tendency seems to be, you know, I have to be brave. I have to be strong. I've got to do it all myself. I have to always be okay in other people's eyes. Whereas for women, it's much more associated with just losing their boundaries, losing their identity. And that, of course, leads to neglecting oneself or carrying more of the burden for others than I should be carrying. Or very often it's also a diffusion of identity. So when we don't deal with those, they stay with us for the rest of our lives. And those are so ingrained beliefs that we don't even recognize them as beliefs any longer. Ken, there's a formula. Can I pop that out?
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
Okay, there's a little formula, and I absolutely love it. It's called the ABCs of feeling. And the A stands for activating events. And those are things that happen external from ourselves. Unfortunately, we don't go from A to B to C. We tend to jump from A to C. And C stands for the consequences that that external event has on us relative to our emotions. So we jump the B because the B is hidden to us. And when we start looking at healing ourselves, we have to start identifying the B. And the B comes from what is our perception of that situation and asking ourselves, is this accurate? And as we delve into it, our beliefs, and that's what the B stands for, comes to light. What is our belief about the situation? Is this really threatening my manhood? Or is this just simply somebody else standing up for themselves, which has nothing to do with me? But I don't separate that unless I become cognitive of that in-between that triggers the emotion. It's not the activating event that triggers the emotion. It's my belief or my perception around the activating event that triggers my emotion. And then, of course, the D kicks in. What do I do as a result of that activation? And that's where transformation starts. If I start choosing what I do consciously, not out of reaction, to make the shift or to create the difference. So the ABCs of feeling is just a great way of analyzing what's going on here.
I love that. You know, as you were talking about men and men, you know, trying to do it all on their own. And I'm thinking of you climbing the seven peaks, and I'm thinking of you going up there and going, "Nah, I don't need any help. I've got it. You know, I'm going to go ahead and do this all by myself. And we're good. You know, don't give me any help. You know, don't tell me anything. I already probably know how to get up to the top. I'll figure it out on the way, you know." I mean, that's kind of how the stupidity of how, you know, sometimes we think, right?
Right on. I love your analogy.
It's just like, what? I was loud, just laughing, thinking about that. You know, probably some of the times I've done that, right? courage, man. You know, courage is an energy. It's a feeling. It's a vibration. And like you said earlier, you know, it doesn't show up until we take action. But how do we build inner courage daily? I think a lot of people want to know that, you know, because it's, you know, people a lot of times think of courage or running into a burning building and rescuing somebody. And, you know, that can take courage. But, you know, I think there's something deeper here that we want to explore. But tell me your version of courage. You know, I'm thinking you climbing those peaks again, going, where'd this guy get the courage to go seven peaks, not just one? Like, where do you find that? Where does that happen? How do you build that daily?
Well, I think part of it comes from experience. And experiencing what is possible. And again, this is coming right back to the micro steps. I was sitting in a workshop way back when, 1990-something. And the guy in front said, think of three things that you wish to do before you die. And I sat back and thought, okay, what are the three things I want to do before I die? And because I was born on the African continent, what popped up is, oh, I want to climb Kilimanjaro. I'm not a climber. I hadn't done any climbing. I was into sports and water skiing and snow skiing and things and tennis like that. So, you know, I was reasonably fit. And then I thought, okay, what's the other thing? Well, climb the Matterhorn because everybody knows this beautiful mountain. And then see Everest Base Camp. And I didn't believe in myself that I would ever do those things. Went home, told my family about this experience from the workshop. Everybody sort of chuckled a little bit. And 2 years later, one of my sons, who was a bit of an adventurer, said, hey, Dad, you wanted to trek to Everest Base Camp. Why don't we go? So that was my bridge into climbing. And I was 55 at that time. Went to Everest Base Camp. We did not go guided, but we did a lot of preparation in terms of physical fitness. How are we going to eat? How do we carry things? So the preparation was there. Now, for me, the experience on that trip is a live memory, as if I was standing on top of Mount Everest on that trip. And it compelled me. It really did. It grabbed me and compelled me to want to do more. And here is the rubbing. Your comment about you having experienced that, knowing about it, was that I thought, well, if I'm going to climb something more, I'm going to climb Denali, which is North America's highest peak. So I applied not to do it on my own, but to go with a group. And they promptly wrote back and said, no, you don't have enough experience. You have to do this before we can consider you. And that was climbing a mountain in Washington, Mount Rainier. Coming back from that, I wasn't sure that I wanted to continue to climb because I was sunburned. I didn't know enough about looking after myself. The guides were not very helpful. But the very next day, I knew I wanted to go back to Denali. So I climbed Denali, and that really was the key because on that mountain, I learned about presence. I learned about the journey being the destination because we got within 200 vertical feet of the summit and we could not continue because of bad weather. So we backed off. So 24 days we were in ice and snow. And I came away having had the most glorious experience you can ever imagine. And when people said to me, oh, you must be so disappointed that you didn't summit, my answer was, no way. I had such a phenomenal time. What is it to be disappointed about?
Yeah. Wow. Well, you know, you could have quit at Mount Rainier. And I think that brings me to the next topic I want to talk to people about, you about, because, you know, your that passion the next day, you felt it, right? You could have went, well, I'm going to deny that passion. I'm just going to, you know, not think about that. Is do you think passion is a kind of a luxury, or do you think we should like move forward with it? What's your thought about that, you know?
Well, I think passion has to do with alignment. And the more I am aligned with who I am and what I want, the more passionate I'm going to be, not only in achieving that, but being passionate about life. When I have a compelling purpose, my days fly by, and I love the hard slog and the accomplishment. So really, there's a link between doing and passion. Without passion, I don't do. I just do mundane things. Yeah. The minute you put passion into the game and desire and drive, then it comes together in terms of taking committed action, which I know I need to take if I want to achieve the outcome that I want.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the outcome, by the way, was always to get to the top of Denali. It took me 2 more attempts, so 3 attempts in total before I got there, and every time was brilliant. And once we sat for 10 days, snuggled up in a tent with snow coming down to the point where during the night we had to get up 2 and 3 times to brush the snow off.
Wow. Wow.
And in Antarctica, we were at minus 47 degrees centigrade.
You know, I'm done many triathlons, and I've always experienced this. I don't know about always, and that's a big statement, but the more you put into something, the more you get out of it.
Yes.
And you know, there's that piece where, you know, when I started biking, I, you know, my wife took me to an event and said, you know, they said, hey, we'll teach you how to ride a century ride if you give us $2,500 to help children. I said, yeah, I'll go do that. And I'll never forget, you know, the first ride I did, 25-mile ride, you know, I got sick. Second 25-mile ride, I got sick, right? And I'm like, is this going to continue on? I don't know. But the passion was there, and I went, I'm just going to try third. Third one I didn't, and I went further than I'd ever gone on a bike at that time. You know, it's that part where we, there's a part here that we're talking about is this, you know, it's easy to give up. But if we give up on ourselves or we give up on our dreams, and I've done that before, maybe you have, but I know I have, you know, I made that mistake, and that mistake, you know, haunted me for years. We don't do that, right? So there's this little golden thread that I want to talk about, okay? And you got a book coming out soon, next year sometime. I'm going to put it on screen because it is called The Golden Thread.
Actually, and, the book, if I may interrupt, the book is called Unstoppable from Within. Oh, and The Golden Thread is one of the chapters.
Oh, it's one of the chapters in it. Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Okay, so The Golden Thread. Well, let's talk about The Golden Thread. What is The Golden Thread?
Well, The Golden Thread is simply that everything we do, have, and be is linked. And the easiest way to portray this is in nature. Nature has one purpose, and that is to become as perfect as it can possibly become without us interfering, of course. Because if you look at a little plant, it starts with a seed and grows into this phenomenal oak tree that produces more seeds to produce more oak trees. And when the weather is bad, it deals with that. It might shed part of its leaves to preserve its energy or its vitality. And then, of course, when the conditions change, it comes back to life. And one of the ways of talking about the golden thread is how our lives end up in spirals. They start in a small way, and then they grow and they grow and they get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And as long as we stay congruent with what we want, we can end up with a sunflower that's dried out and see the spiral of its growth, which is just really stunning if you take the time to look at it. In fact, it's more than stunning. It really is totally amazing. And if you look at nature in terms of how amazing it is and how self-cleansing it is, something is going on here that links us to itself because we are part of it. So why would a tree grow so phenomenally? And why would we not? Unless, of course, there are obstacles. And that's what we need to deal with, which, of course, brings us into parenting. We need to look at parenting and raising kids quite differently.
100%. And I think the other part is, you know, what stops us, you know, what stopped me in the past was just very simple. It was fear, doubt, and uncertainty of a future that hadn't been created. And, you know, the more I stuck in the fear, doubt, and uncertainty, the more it shut me down and the more it just paralyzed me. And so at one point I had to go, well, all right, you can live here or you can choose to walk in faith, courage, and love and truth. And I was like, well, okay, I think it's time to let me see what is that? How do we even live in that place? And, you know, part of it's like you said, it was that action, you know, action doing courageous things that I didn't necessarily think I could do. And that's what it blew everything away. I mean, I think that's what happened to you too. You started doing courageous things and you ended up seven peaks in 70s. That's amazing. So don't we have to master our inner world? We all have to master that inner world first, you know, our thoughts, emotions, and identity rather than being led by, you know, fear, uncertainty, and doubt.
Well, you're right on with all of that. And that makes me reflect. Since you being so transparent about yourself on me, I really did grow up feeling not good enough and not part of the whole. And there are lots of reasons for that. But carrying that with me for the rest of my life, really into my very later part of my life, didn't mean that I wasn't productive. but it just meant that fulfillment was missing. Yeah. And true connection was missing. How can you be connected with somebody that's constantly trying to prove themselves or outperform the next person? There's little humanity in that. Yeah. It's when we give it up that, like you said, when we give that up and start looking at connection and how do we become connected, not just with our families, but with the world at large,
yeah.
Now we have a different path to go.
Well, you know, it's once we realize the connection with our true self, we already have it all. We already are the field. We already have, there's nothing to compete with.
Correct.
Because it's already here and we're manifesting from what already is. We're just remembering what it is. That, yeah, it's like, well, I set this goal. And then for me, it's like, well, let me, you know, I get these insights. It's like I'm remembering how to manifest that goal. And as long as I don't stop, it manifests. So it's more of a remembering. It's not a like a creating something new. For me, this has been my experience. How about yours? And by the way, we're out of time.
I think what you just said is completely accurate. Because if we try and manifest ourselves into something that we are not, we are always playing in the realm of fakeness.
Yeah.
And
we're always something we're not. We're always less than. It's like we're always chasing something.
Yeah.
What are we chasing?
Yeah.
And why?
Yeah.
I want to circle back one last thought here. You know, I love what you said in the beginning of the show. You said, and I'm going to summarize it. You know, it's like get clear with what it is that you want. Get clear with your why. You know, and as Warner said, what is your compelling purpose? And then, you know, from my point of view, it's like, how will this what you want and this compelling purpose, how will it involve you? How will you evolve? Just think about that. Where are you going to grow to? And then, you know, as Warner would say, go do it. it's go start to achieve it. Yeah. Warner, how do people get a hold of you?
The easiest way right now is either social media, or I don't mind sharing a website.
Sure. Yeah, please do.
And I know that that could mean overwhelm, but again, I think connection is really the key here. And the best way is just simply Werner, that's Werner, at Quest, not West, Quest736.com. And just mention Ken and this show, so that, you know, I can recognize where you came from, as opposed to just simply see it as another bit of spam email.
Yeah, awesome. And I got a big listening audience. They might be driving or what have you. They may need to replay this. So let's just give that to website one more time, Warner.
Okay, so it's Warner with an E and at Quest, not West, Quest. So keep thinking of West and thinking, okay, there's a Q in front, 736. And that came from a dream of doing all seven summits in 36 months. And that didn't happen.
It's amazing. Well, listen, by the way, that was an email address, not a website. So Warner, hey, you know, I hope to see you very soon. I hope you, in fact, I think we will. I think we're going to do an interview with Irvin Laszlo here really quickly. So thank you for being here. I hope you come back anytime. Love to have you.
Maybe if I can quickly say the website is the Golden Ascent, the Global Ascent, sorry, theglobalascent.com.
Theglobalascent.com. Yeah, go check it out and join me and Warner at the Global Ascent in 2027. Look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you, Ken.
Take care, everybody. Till next time.